Hello and welcome to Healing From Within. I am your host, Cheryl Glick, author of The Living Spirit, a tale of spiritual awakening, spiritual communication, healing energies, afterlife, miracles, and a guide to soul wisdom. Today I am most delighted to have PMH Atwater, one of the original researchers in the field of near-death studies, to discuss her newest book, A Manual for Developing Humans. Hello and welcome to Healing From Within.
Oh, I'm excited to be with you. This is great.
And I with you, Ms. Atwater. As listeners of Healing From Within are well aware, my guests and I share our intimate experiences, studies, and continuing awareness of life in its total form, both physical and spiritual energy, in the hopes of inspiring greater self-investigation and self-mastery of mind, body, and spirit for understanding and creating a more refined version of our lives through intuition, self-awareness, and higher consciousness. In today's episode of Healing From Within, PMH Atwater, the author of over 15 books, including Dying to Know You, Proof of God in Near-Death Experiences, Ms. Atwater was told to write a manual for developing humans during her third near-death experience. We will find in our discussion today more about the development of conscious, subconscious, and superconscious aspects of being and how to use your mind, develop and use intuition, understand color, sex, relationships, children, out-of-body trips, interact with spirit beings, meditation, bending time, and rethinking money. PMH, I always love to ask my guests because I get the most unexpected answers, beautiful answers, to think and I don't think they've been asked this for a while either, to think back to their childhood and remember a person, place, event, feeling, or value that may have been a clue to the life they would live and the adult they would become. Because it seems to me that in the beginning is the template for the journey ahead.
Tell you, the biggest memory from my childhood is the first grade. The first grade for me was a living nightmare. I'm one of those who can remember World War II. I remember so clearly the bombs dropping on Pearl Harbor.
Oh.
And that traumatized me. I had to walk to school. I lived in Twin Falls, Idaho, and I had to walk to school. There were long blocks. And in those days, if someone died in the war effort, the government gave your family a great big gold star decal that you put in your front room window to let everybody know. Mm. And so my walk to school was a walk of death because I knew what those gold stars meant.
Yeah.
And also, I was born with dyslexia and synesthesia. So that complicated my first grade beyond belief. And I can't remember one single morning in all of my first grade when I did not have to stop my tears and control my shudders just to walk in the door of my classroom. And because I had synesthesia, which is multiple sensing, I spent most of my time in the first grade on a tall stool in front of the class. Sometimes I'd have to wear a tall conical hat that said dunce on it as a bad child who told lies because I would tell the truth, but it wasn't their truth. They thought I was lying. And what I learned from that was whenever I told the truth, I would be punished. Whenever I told a lie, I would be praised. So I decided that, literally I fled into nature because nature never lies to you. And from that day on, I didn't trust adults.
You know what? My childhood was very similar to yours. I was put in, and you just described and made me understand it in a little different way than I had before, because I was put into kindergarten at 4 years old, and I was a sensitive like you, and feeling everyone's energy. Of course, I didn't know that, and neither did the teachers or the doctors, so I was sick a lot because I was very uncomfortable in a lot of situations, and very bright like you, and very gifted to understand multidimensional communication. And I cried a lot. I remember one day at 3 years old lying on the grass, and I remember this. I looked up and I said, "Why did you drop me in this place?"
Because, oh, wow, yeah.
Because it
well,
was...
Well, with me, it yeah, was, with me, it made me angry. It made me a fighter.
Me too.
And so I went out and did my own research.
I was a tomboy.
I mean, I didn't believe anybody. I'd go find out for myself.
Me too. I stood my ground, even though I was
yeah.
little. I always stood my ground.
Well, so, we are alike.
Yes, we are. Let's go on to what makes this manual for developing humans, even the title, so unique.
Well, I died three times in 3 months in 1977. I was raped, and then a lot of things from pregnancy and all kinds of body problems that I had to go through. And then afterward, having to rebuild my body. I was one of those people, you know, most people seem to forget that most near-death experiences come from violence or trauma.
Yes.
So you've got a body to rebuild. And I was one of those people who had to relearn how to crawl, how to stand, how to walk, how to climb stairs, how to tell the difference between left and right, see properly, hear properly, and rebuild all of my belief systems. So that first year... I was in doing nothing but classes and exercises, and you know, I was just determined to figure out how to be a human being again. And in my third near-death experience, one of the things that happened to me was I heard a voice. Now, no, this wasn't an angel or an archangel or an alien or, you know, none of that kind of stuff. Just wipe that from your mind. It was not that kind of a voice. It was a voice so huge that it filled the entire universe. Mm. And that voice said, and I quote, "Test revelation. You are to do the research. One book for each death."
Wow.
It showed me what was to be in each book, not how to get it there. Then it said that I was to write three specific books. It did not name book one, so I have no idea what book that is. Might have been, you know, coming back to life. I don't know. The second one was future memory. And every sentence, every paragraph, every page is part of the math I used to create the labyrinth. Future memory is not a book, it is a labyrinth. And you read through it like you walk through a sight labyrinth. The purpose of the book is to bring your consciousness up to the next highest level possible for you. So future memory, the second book, is a labyrinth. It's it's a brain changer. The third book was a manual for developing humans. And it showed me how to do it. It is not a regular linear format, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
Every section and every part is developed in such a way that you get the intellect, intuition, knowing, you get the conscious, subconscious, superconscious. You get everything in whole packages so that you come to realize that this manual is an invitation for you to think for yourself and align with the directive of your own soul. You know, in ancient times, Cheryl, the word hue was accepted and felt to be the sound and tone of God.
Mm-hmm.
So a human God-man, God-woman.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are all you can be, guess what? If you are a full, true human, you are literally a God in the making.
Absolutely,
so
yeah.
That's what this manual is about.
Yeah. We are within the universe, and the universe is within us. And I want to read something you wrote, because many people, after having a near-death experience, come back with new spiritual skills or ideas about how they want to live their life after that experience. And you wrote, after dying three times in 3 months in 1977, I could no longer relate to me as myself. The very nature of self became primary. This is what I was finally able to clarify. I truly am an immortal soul, an extension of the divine, who temporarily resides within a carbon-based form of electromagnetic pulsations that produces a solid-appearing visual overlay of behavior patterns, more commonly referred to as a personality. The name I had was given to my personality, my temporal self, but the real me is I am. And what I am, everyone else is, for all of us are cells in the greater body, an expression of the one God. And that is what they mean when they talk about the oneness and the unity of being, and we are all interconnected through energy. And you just expressed it so wonderfully. And your book expresses this also in many, many different ways. Now, you also said when you were faced with the enormous task of rebuilding your body, you had to confront fears. And fears are what hold many people back from realizing their true potential. So tell us about the Atwater version of Litany of Fear.
Oh, yeah. Well, boy, did that make a difference in my life. I got it from the Dune books, really. I was reading the Dune trilogy because I was told to, and it fits so much with what I was going through. And the Litany of Fear is in there, but it's different than what I have. And I don't know why I changed it, but I did. So my form is...
Fear is the mind killer. It is
the little death.
I will face my fear. It will pass over me, around me, and through me. And when it is gone, I will remain. Isn't that the truth?
I would chant it. Sometimes by the hour, because there were so many fears. And that enabled me to see what fear is. It's a smoke screen. It's literally a smoke screen that we can pass through, walk through, you know, just absolutely go through. And on the other side of that smoke screen is that new world, or that different world, or that different point of view, or that reality that we can face fresh.
Well, then it's really the truth. And it's also the trust in yourself and your alignment to universal spirit and to your life purpose and destiny. So it's a bit of retrieving the trust that we may have lost in childhood, being given belief systems and having experiences that may have traumatized us. So it's walking through all of that to the truth of who we are as spiritual beings, having a physical life and wanting very much to become that higher human, the highest version of ourselves, so to put it. But let's go on to... You became a researcher of near-death states, and by doing that, you became aware of the brain-mind consciousness, subconsciousness, superconsciousness, and more aware of energy. And you discuss different parts of exploring our memory, using terms like mind play, visualization, mind
manipulation.
Well,
there's all kinds of fun little happy exercises in that book. One of the things I love is that I'm hearing now from families, and families are buying the book, the manual, and then they're getting together as a family project, and they're going through it with the kids, mom and dad and the kids, and they're going through the exercises one by one, and they're having a ball, and the kids are having fun. And just imagine what they're being educated. They're getting this as children. And another thing that I like so much that, oh, gee, really humbled me, is that a number of psychiatrists, psychologists, and therapists are now using techniques in the manual in their practice.
That's
so
wonderful.
This is a usable, gutsy manual anybody can take. In other words, this is not just a manual that's going to inspire you. This is a manual that's going to lift you. It's going to show you. It's going to enable you to find your answers and do it in a really great way.
And not only find answers, but to find a way to live in your in your physical experience, using your spiritual inner soul wisdom and putting together the ego-based reality with a spiritual energetic reality.
It all goes together to
live better and not fight yourself and not think you're paying attention to other people's thoughts when they're really they're your own self thoughts, and you must respect them and honor them. Now, you also mentioned out-of-body experiences, and you mentioned that there was a time when your daughter was being operated on in Portland, Oregon, and you were in Virginia. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, she was in Oregon, and I was in Virginia. She literally had to have her legs cut in half. And this is real.
You're not being dramatic. It's real.
Yeah, absolutely. They had to be literally sawed. The bone had to be sawed in half. And then rotated. And she was born without hip joints. So she'd worn braces all of her life, well, not all of her life, but parts of her life. And she had to go through a number of things. So this particular surgery, they were going to literally saw both legs in half. And I don't remember exactly how they did it, but then they would rotate the bone, so that her foot then would come up and be like a normal person's foot. And then they would pin it. They would pin it back together again. Mm. So this is a major surgery.
Very.
And I had no way to fly out there. Mm. So what I did was I laid down on our bed. Mm-hmm. I put myself into that very, very deep meditative state. And then I literally flew over there. That's what I call it, astral travel.
Yeah.
Just flew over there.
Energy can be anywhere. It doesn't have
and
to reside in the body.
I was in the operating room. I was in the operating room. I was watching the doctors and nurses as they worked. And then I noticed that Natalie, that's my oldest daughter's first name, she noticed me, and I noticed that she was beginning to rise from her body.
Mm.
So I went over to her rather than being with the doctors, and helped her out of her body. And then we were just visiting and yakety-yakking, and, you know, mom and her daughter. And then we floated up to the ceiling, and I knew that she had to go her own way. So I let her go, and she disappeared. And then I went back and sort of checked the doctors and nurses. I went in and out of their mind, their brain, seeing what they were doing and why, and checked her body and see, you know, I made sure that her body was okay. And then I came back. I came back to Virginia where I was. The mistake I made, I want to alert everybody, always protect yourself first before you do something like this.
Mm-hmm.
And make certain that you're going to be okay, and when you return, you're going to be okay.
Mm-hmm.
I was so concerned about her, and I knew about protection, but I forgot to protect. So mm-hmm. when I came back, I got all of her pain.
Mm-hmm.
And she never, ever had any pain. I got it all.
Well,
that was kind of okay, but it was not very smart.
Well, we don't want any person that we work on with energy techniques. We don't want to take on their pain. So protection.
No, and that's what I did, and that was a mistake.
Yeah.
And when I talked to her, when she was in the recovery room, she remembered everything we said, and the doctors were really pulling and jiggling on her bone because they were trying to remove previous nails, I'll call it, and they had a hard time removing them. And so I talked to the head nurse who was in the recovery room, and I talked about what I saw and what they did to her, and she confirmed everything.
Of course. Now, being a full human, all that you can be, please explain that and tell us something about the fifth dimension that we're all on our way to moving towards in these very challenging times.
Well, you know, when we're talking about the fifth dimension, we're talking about all is revealed intention rules. There's no secrets in the fifth dimension. So you get everything. Everything is there. Absolutely nothing is hidden. And intention rules. What you think about, what you speak, what you know, that's exactly what happens. So we need to kind of be schooled in that so that we don't abuse this. Because when you're in that fifth dimension, hey, it happens. And it happens, you know, physically it's very real, and intention rules. And so you have to be careful of your mind. What does it mean to be a human being? Again, this idea that, or this truth, I'm not going to call it an idea, this truth that in being all that we can be, that's the greatest intonation of all time. Know thyself.
Mm-hmm.
Be all that you can be. Love thyself. If you are all that you can be, if you know yourself, that's the strongest, that's the healthiest, that's the smartest that you can ever be. And
because
that's
the totality of your soul and your physical body working in tandem together to be the best version of life.
Takes you there.
Yes.
Right. The manual takes you there, not just with inspiring words, but with actual exercises that enable you to do it, to learn it, to make it real in your life. Just for instance, how many people realize that in your home or your apartment, wherever it is that you live, everything that is at eye level in every room is literally what you're praying for? And if you don't like what's in your life, change the stuff that you're looking at. Mm. It's literal.
Interesting.
And also, with our human body, 6 weeks before your birthday every year, you're the weakest you will be. 6 weeks after your birthday every year, you are the strongest you will be.
That's wonderful.
6 months from your birthday every year, you get a lot of challenges and a lot of, a lot of things that you need to look at.
That's very interesting. But I want to tell our listeners something that was very interesting in your book. You gave a breakdown of events happening in a timeline starting at 1975 and continuing to 2948. And most people right now are interested about the time frame from 2020 to 2024 for the United States.
So that's our Pluto return, dear.
Yeah, can you tell us about
Pluto return
that?
is actually 2022. That's the actual year. But Pluto has so much powerful, extreme energy that I tell everybody, look at that for, you know, a four-year period. I hope everybody knows what a return is. It's when we were born, whatever our chart is, when we come back in orbit, let's say, for instance, Saturn. When Saturn returns to the place it was in our birth chart, that's a major change of life. Now, people don't have Pluto returns because that's a 248-year orbit, but a country can have them. And the United States, according to our chart, when we began as a country, we will have that in 2022. Now, we know through Pluto, however you want to regard Pluto, and the aspects of Scorpio, when you look at the symbology of Scorpio, partnered with Pluto, you know that this is extreme energy. There's no such thing as middle. That's one of the greatest learning lessons of our Scorpio brothers and sisters, is to learn forgiveness, because, you know, there's hardly anything like a middle.
Well,
it's either up or it's down. So with our country, the energy is going to be extremely good and extremely not so good.
You also mentioned there are a lot of die-offs during that time. I didn't know what that term meant. What did you mean by that?
Well, certainly broadly, when we're looking at animals or plants or bugs, or, you know, that kind of thing, we're also looking at rules and regulations, the way we do things.
Oh, okay.
A lot of people are now having to downsize everything because they can no longer afford, you know, to pay the full price.
So it's going to be a simplification, perhaps, which we need.
Well, you can look at that, but you can also look at absolute changes, sweeping changes that will occur in the land, with the people, and with animals. So we're going to have a lot of change. We already are. We're going to have a lot more.
Absolutely.
So, you know, the manual for developing, a manual for developing humans, this is going to help prepare you, because when you know yourself, then you're going to know which way to go.
Mm-hmm. How to make the best choices
for
yourself.
Choices.
Exactly. I want to thank you, PMH Atwater, author of A Manual for Developing Humans, for all your efforts to help listeners connect more fully to the essential aspects of the three aspects of our consciousness, subconsciousness, and superconsciousness, and as a way to become more aware of who we are, which your manual does, where we come from, and what is the ultimate value and purpose of living life. For more information and to purchase this book, go to pmhatwater.com. In summarizing today's episode of Healing From Within, we have expressed lifetimes of awareness of the true nature of man, God, the universe, and eternal light and life. And it's encouraging to learn once again that nothing is random, and we are all in the process at one level or another of rediscovering or simply remembering our connection to universal energy and source, and as it was in the beginning, so it is now. We are and have always been unique aspects of this creative force that loves, accepts, allows, and surrenders to life in all of its many nuances for the purpose of greater love and compassion through experience and recreating ourselves in the best version of human and divine life. PMH Atwater has explored in depth and answered many questions about life, her near-death experiences, energy, and the world with great accuracy, showing the wisdom we may gather from those realms above or beyond and incorporate into life as we know it, the physical life. PMH and I would have you remember that in dreams and in our most loving moments, we know who we are. I am Cheryl Glick, host of Healing From Within, and I invite you to visit my website, CherylGlick.com, to hear and read about visionaries, scientists, spiritualists, healers, educators, artists, and musicians, explore the realms of physical and spiritual life for greater efficacy in living well. Shows may also be heard on WebTalkRadio.net and DreamVision7.com. Thank you.